Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Chris Fowler's life path was changing in 2016. Nothing bad, just changing. Chris was 34 years old, and he had not only recently gone through a divorce, an amicable one, but he had recently left his job when the company relocated out of state. Where would Chris go from here? Despite these drastic changes in his life, he wasn't very upset, however. In fact, he was excited for the new experiences and changes that were coming his way. Chris had always grown up loving the outdoors and hiking, and now that he was single and unemployed, he felt like this might be the perfect time to embark on a challenge he had always wanted to attempt. Chris wanted to thru-hike the entire Pacific Crest Trail, a hike that would take him over 5 months to complete, and a hike that would cover well over 2,000 miles of majestic beauty from the southern tip of California all the way to the Washington state and Canadian border. Now was his time. In the spring of 2016, Chris set off to hike the famous PCT. He began at the southern tip of California, and by October of that year, Chris had made it to White Pass, Washington. He was so close to the finish line. After a short resupply stop on October 12th, Chris was taken back to the trailhead at White Pass and dropped off. By the end of October, however, no one had heard from Chris. Despite his promises to have weekly or biweekly check-ins with family, and searches and attempts to contact Chris were all unsuccessful. Chris Fowler was reported missing. Where is Christopher Fowler? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast in another bonus episode and another episode in our series, Missing on the PCT. The PCT, Pacific Crest Trail, sees thousands of hikers each year, and while most make it back home safe and sound, a few will seem to disappear into thin air. The PCT is a beautiful hiking trail that stretches from the southern border of California up to the Washington state-Canadian border. The route passes through 25 national forests and 7 different national parks. It's a newer trail system than the Appalachian Trail on the East Coast, and some refer to it as the Appalachian Trail of the West. But really, it is very uniquely its own trail with its own beauty and its own dangers. According to trailandsummit.com, a few of the most dangerous things hikers will experience on the PCT include falling, drowning, extreme temperatures, wildlife, and dehydration. To complete a through hike, it is recommended that a lot of preparation and training take place, and it should be reserved for the most experienced of hikers. And having a plan is essential. Chris Bowler was an experienced hiker. As a child, Chris grew up being raised by his father and his stepmother, Sally. His biological mother had passed away when he was very young. The Fowler family all enjoyed the outside and took many trips camping and spending time together in nature as Chris grew up. He would spend his childhood growing up in Ohio, but he dreamed of exploring the larger trail systems and all of the national parks someday. After high school, Chris went on to college where he studied business marketing and communications. He did obtain his bachelor's degree and he eventually took a job with a transportation company. Chris would also get married, and life seemed to be moving along well for him. However, by 2016, things had started to change. Chris and his wife would get divorced, and while that's a trying time for anyone, everyone said that their divorce was amicable. The company that Chris was working for also moved out of state, and Chris decided he did not want to relocate with them. He left his position at that company and found himself suddenly single and unemployed. And then he had an idea. This could be the perfect time for him to follow his dream and hike the PCT, a hike that he would need 5 months to complete. And this could give him time to clear his head and work out and make some decisions for his next path in life. Chris was thrilled about this new plan, and he talked excitedly to his mom and dad about it. A friend agreed to hike the trail with him, but they did plan on splitting up after they got started so they could each go at their own pace. Chris was an amateur photographer, and his goal was to go slow and document as much of the scenery as he could, while his friend wanted to go at a slightly faster pace. Chris told his parents that he would check in at various stops along the way when he needed to resupply. This would be approximately every week or once every 2 weeks. In the spring of 2016, after preparing, planning, and packing, Chris Fowler headed to Campo, California to begin his through hike of the PCT, a hike that would take him 5 to 6 months. After setting off on the trail, things were going well. Chris and his friends stayed together for a few weeks before eventually separating. Chris also met some other hikers early on who gave him the trail name of Sherpa. Many hikers who meet along the trail do introduce themselves to each other by their trail name. And Chris embraced Sherpa, which means guardian angel of the Himalayas. As Chris made his way north, he was able to check in with his family every couple of weeks. Sally, Chris's stepmom, said that Chris was having a good time and enjoying his hike. His hiking and camping experience was beneficial to him as he crossed over 2,000 miles. In early October, Chris checked in with his family. He was now near the White Pass Packwood area of the trail, specifically mile 2,294. He was only about 350 miles from completing the entire PCT. He was set to be one of the select group of hikers that complete the through hike of the PCT each year. Chris spent a couple of days in Packwood, Washington, a small town with just over 1,000 residents. This is also a popular stopping point for hikers to rest and resupply. On October 12th, Chris received a ride back from town to the PCT trailhead and was dropped off at the Cracker Barrel store. Not to be confused with the popular chain restaurant Cracker Barrel, this would be a store and service area that was set up mainly for hikers of the PCT and those coming to the area to visit one of the many ski resorts. Allegedly, from what we know, Chris was dropped off at this store. It's important to note that while it's believed that Chris did go back to the PCT after stopping in at the Cracker Barrel, no one can say for 100% certainty that that's what he did. During this stop, Chris did try to call his dad, but he received his dad's voicemail. At this time, Washington State was also preparing for one of the most brutal storms that that area had seen in 20 years, Typhoon Songda. This is what Wikipedia says about Typhoon Songda, although I'm sure if you're local, this is likely a storm that you remember well. Typhoon Songda was the sixth most intense tropical cyclone of the Northwest Pacific Ocean in 2016, also known as the Ides of October storm. It struck the Pacific Northwest region of the U.S. and Canada as a powerful extratropical cyclone. The system developed into a tropical storm on October 8th and strengthened into a typhoon on October 10th. Chris was in the Cracker Barrel the morning of October 12th, just as the storm was reaching the PCT area of Washington. Many hikers remember being in that area, and those at the Cracker Barrel also remember how many hikers were talking about not going back to the trail that day and waiting it out until after the storm passes. The storm was going to bring in record low temperatures in the mountain areas, along with rain, sleet, and snow. This was the storm of the decade. So did Chris indeed decide to brave the storm and continue his hike? We can't be sure. After several days and then a couple of weeks with no word from Chris, his parents reported him as missing. Checking phone records, they quickly realized that the call that Chris made to his dad on the morning of October 12th would be the last ping of his phone. From there, it was either turned off or had died, and it had never been turned back on. Search and rescue teams immediately began looking for Chris on the trail near White Pass and conducted their search heading north from there. They were instantly concerned because of the storm that had just passed through, and they knew that if Chris were still out there, he could be in dire need of help. This could be a life or death situation. His story hit local news, and a couple of people did come forward with a possible sighting of Chris. Two bear hunters claimed they saw Chris near Blowout Mountain East. Search and rescue turned their focus up to that area. Blowout Mountain East is about 60 miles further up the trail from White Pass. It certainly could stand to reason that Chris would be there. However, nothing was found to point them to Chris. And, in fact, later on, people would come forward to claim that these hunters weren't even in the area during that time frame, and they believed their story was not credible. But what we do know is that Chris was dropped off at the Cracker Barrel store in White Pass, Washington, near the PCT trailhead on October 12th, and was never seen again. What do you think happened to Chris Sherpa Fowler? Chris is described as a Caucasian male, about 6'2" tall, and weighing around 160 pounds when he was last seen in October of 2016. Chris was 34 years old then and would today be 41. Chris has blonde hair and blue eyes and a full beard. He was carrying a black backpack and wearing Chaco sandals. He was last known to be near White Pass, Washington, on or near the PCT. Remember, if you were hiking the trail and possibly saw or met someone that might fit that description, he might have introduced himself by his trail name, Sherpa. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Chris Fowler is asked to contact the Yakima County Sheriff Department at 509-574-2500. There are many thoughts on what might have happened to Chris Fowler out there on the PCT. There are some that believe he likely did just want to start fresh. He had just undergone some big changes in his life, and perhaps that prompted him to want to go off and start somewhere new. But there's no evidence to show that he made any arrangements to do that. There has been no activity on his bank accounts, or his social security number, or his driver's license. And those that knew Chris don't believe that's a possibility either. Yet there are others who believe that he did go out onto the trail and probably succumbed to the storm. The storm would hit that mountainous area that evening of October 12th. If he did decide to go out there, he was wearing sandals and possibly shorts. He was not prepared and could have easily succumbed to hypothermia. As for why he hasn't been found yet, the terrain is pretty rugged and vast. And search and rescue said if he did venture off trail, it is possible that they wouldn't find any sign of him, and it could be 20 to 30 years before they do. As we mentioned in our coverage of the David O'Sullivan story, the Fowler O'Sullivan Foundation was started to aid families and authorities in searching for missing hikers, specifically on the PCT. The foundation was named after Chris Fowler and David O'Sullivan. You can learn more about the Fowler O'Sullivan Foundation at fofound.org. Sadly, Chris's father would pass away a year after Chris vanished on the trail. This is what Sally said in a recent interview. Quote, "He died from cancer, but really he died of a broken heart. He was just heartbroken when Chris went missing, and he fought so hard to find him. This ultimately just killed him." End quote. Sally does continue the search for Chris in person herself during the summer months and via social media during the winter. Please give her Facebook page for Chris a follow and a like. You can find it at bringchrisfowler/sherpahome. Thank you so much for listening to Chris's story today. Another hiker gone missing on the Pacific Crest Trail, the PCT. Someone out there might just know something. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing person case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones. Randy Spring, at 28 years old, was a trained survivalist. He was a U.S. Army veteran, and he knew how to properly and safely hike and camp in the wilderness. Randy was also an employee of the California Department of Forestry and a volunteer firefighter. This young man knew his way around the outdoors. So no one was surprised when Randy decided to take a few days and go out on the Pacific Crest Trail and do some hiking. He wanted to specifically hike near the San Jacinto mountain area, which can be treacherous. But with Randy's experience, he felt he would be just fine doing that hike alone. On October 10th, 1988, Randy asked his mom to drop him off at the trail, which she did. It was 6:30 a.m. when he hopped out of her car near the Tipton Road and Whitewater Road area. Little did she know, that was the last time she would see her son. Randy never made it back from that hike, and searches turned up no sign of the young man anywhere. Randy had disappeared on the PCT. Where is Randy Charles Spring? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and a bonus episode. Specifically, episode number 4 in our Missing on the PCT series. The PCT, or the Pacific Crest Trail, is a beautiful hiking trail from the southern tip of California to the Canadian border up north. While hiking the PCT in its entirety can be dangerous and should be reserved for the most experienced hikers, hiking a portion of the trail is done by thousands of people each year. This is, in fact, the best way to experience the beauty of the surrounding nature in different parts of this trail system. Hiking just parts of the trail at a time is the most common way for people to experience the PCT. These hikers are considered section hikers, and that is just what Randy Spring was planning on doing for a few days in October 1988. This case does take us back many years, before record keeping and media was what it is now. But let's dive in to what we do know about Randy's story. Randy was born January 25th, 1960. He always loved the outdoors growing up, and as soon as he was of age, he joined the U.S. Army. While in the Army, Randy learned even more outdoor and survival skills. After his time in the military, Randy returned home to California. He was able to get a job with the California Department of Forestry, which seemed to be something that was right up his alley. He also worked and trained to be a volunteer firefighter for the city of Bostonia. Randy's ultimate goal was to become a full-time firefighter and pursue that field as his career. On October 10th, 1988, Randy asked his mother to drive him to the PCT trail where he could spend a few days hiking and camping. Of course, she said she would. This would be a particularly dangerous spot of the trail where Randy was going to hike, the San Jacinto mountain range. But if anyone could do it, it was Randy. He was well-trained, and he knew how to be well-prepared in the wild. He was, after all, a trained survivalist. At 6:30 a.m., his mom dropped him off at Tipton Road and Whitewater Road. This is the area of San Jacinto Mountains and the PCT, and there is a PCT drop-off point there with the San Jacinto Mountains located just a bit south down the trail. The plan was that he would spend a few days in the mountains, and then he could hitchhike or he would call his family for a ride home. But that would never happen. Randy Spring had disappeared. As soon as Randy's mother didn't hear from her son on the day she was supposed to, she contacted Search and Rescue, and by all accounts, they jumped right in and started searching for Randy. That area of the San Jacinto Mountains is a tough one to search. The terrain is really difficult in a lot of areas. The trail is steep, and the weather can turn in an instant. The PCT trail runs up the mountain, but there are numerous side trails that run into the PCT. And when I say numerous, I mean hundreds of possible trails all up and down San Jacinto. This certainly presented a challenge for search and rescue. And ultimately, no signs or clues were found to lead them to Randy. They did start putting up missing person flyers, and they did come across a couple of hikers who believed they saw Randy at the base of the mountain on October 10th, the same day he was dropped off. They thought they saw him sometime between noon and 1 o'clock. And it is a very probable sighting, but authorities have said they cannot 100% confirm that it was him. The questions here were numerous. Did Randy get lost out there? He only had provisions on him for a couple of days, but he was an avid outdoorsman and survivalist. Still, the San Jacinto Mountains can be unforgiving. Did Randy become injured? If so, where is he? Perhaps he fell down a steep embankment. There were plenty of those around, and maybe that was why he hasn't been found. There isn't a whole lot of information, if any at all, really, on the search efforts that were done to find him. Remember, it was 1988. But I am curious if they did indeed use any search dogs or helicopters or what their efforts were to search during that time. Another thought was the idea that Randy might have encountered someone dangerous on the trail or in a car. Randy had said he would try and hitchhike home, and he had told his mother this when she dropped him off. Could Randy have ended up in a car with someone that would bring him harm? Hitchhiking was a lot more common back in the 80s. Of course, in today's world, hitchhiking is rarely seen and always advised against on both sides. We are told hitchhiking can be very dangerous, and we are also told not to pick up people hitchhiking. But 1988 was a different time in the United States. The San Jacinto area of the PCT is located in Southern California. Here's a description of that area from Backpacker.com. The best place to experience the PCT's notorious elevation changes is on the traverse of the San Jacintos. From the 10,804-foot top of Mount San Jacinto, you'll descend almost 9,600 feet in about 20 miles, dropping through all six of California's life zones. In 2 or 3 days, you'll go from a barren alpine summit to forests of white fir, lodgepole pine, and western white pine, down to a scrubby desert of chaparral and shaggy Mojave yucca, the biotic equivalent to walking from Alaska to Death Valley. Following a long ridge, this traverse features high mountain views of rugged side canyons, the cliffs of rock climbing mecca Taquitos Rock, Joshua Tree National Park, and Southern California's highest peak, the 11,499-foot San Giorgino. All in all, that area is known as one of the most beautiful spots of the PCT, but also one of the most dangerous. What do you think happened to Randy Spring? It's been 35 years since Randy vanished. Do you think we will ever know or have answers? Randy is described as a Caucasian male standing 5 foot 11 inches tall and weighing around 180 pounds when he was last seen. He has blonde hair and blue eyes. In 1988, Randy was 28 years old and would today be 63. Randy was last known to be wearing camo pants, a blue t-shirt, a green jacket, and carrying with him a green backpack. Randy was a survivalist, a firefighter, and he was physically fit. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Randy Spring, or any information at all on what might have happened to Randy, please contact the Riverside County Sheriff's Department at 951-922-7100. Randy's story is the fourth in our series of missing hikers from the PCT. I think it's important to know how dangerous the outdoors can be and how crucial it is to be prepared for anything if you plan on spending multiple days out on the trail. And through hiking, the trail should be reserved for the most experienced hikers and those that are able to plan and prepare. And even then, dangerous things can and have happened. What can we do to ensure our safety on the trail? Here are some tips from experienced hikers. Number one, if you are alone, use we instead of I when talking to others. It is advised to not let people know that you're alone. Number two, carry bear spray. Number three, wear a whistle that you can grab quickly and easily. Number four, bring a first aid kit. Number five, don't take any valuables with you. Number six, avoid hitchhiking. Number seven, always be on the lookout for smoke, and if you see fire, don't run uphill. Number eight, be careful opening containers at high altitude. That little thing called air pressure can get you every time. And maybe most importantly, make sure someone else knows your itinerary and have scheduled times to check in with them. Any variations of that, your point of contact should know how to alert search and rescue and the authorities right away. It's always better to be safe than sorry. If the search and rescue authorities don't act right away, there are other agencies and organizations as well that you can contact, such as the Fowler O'Sullivan Foundation, who may be able to guide you in taking the next steps. While we don't know much about Randy's case overall, we do know that if anyone should have been safe on the trail for a few days, it should have been Randy. He was in good shape, he was well trained, and he was seemingly well prepared. Randy's family hasn't seen or heard from him since October of 1988, and I sure do hope that someday they get answers. Thank you so much for listening to Randy's story today. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing person case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.